kboo.fm/healthwatch.
KBOO hosts a monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater called KBOO at the Clinton. This month, we'll screen the film This Changes Everything on Thursday, January 11th at 7 p.m. Filmed over 211 shoot days in 9 countries and 5 continents over 4 years, This Changes Everything is an attempt to reimagine the vast challenge of climate change. The film is narrated by Naomi Klein and presents 7 portraits of communities on the front lines, from Montana to South India to Beijing and beyond. Again, that's a film screening of This Changes Everything, Thursday, January 11th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. It's Monday, January 8th here in Portland, and today we're talking about the case of Ahed Tamimi, 16-year-old Palestinian who is imprisoned right now by the State of Israel. This Saturday, January 13th, here in Portland, at noon, there will be a vigil at Pioneer Courthouse Square, followed at 12:30 by a march. It is a women's march for Palestine, specifically focusing on the case of Ahed Tamimi and of all Palestinian children imprisoned. The vigil and march will also focus on Trump's declaration that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, demand an end to the siege on Gaza, demand an end to the Israeli occupation of Palestine, and demand freedom, justice, and equality, and human rights for all Palestinians. I am speaking now with Jesse Locke, who is a filmmaker from here in Bend, Oregon, and recently made the film Radiance of Resistance about two young women in Palestine, one of whom, Ahed Tamimi, 16-year-old, has been detained for over a week now by the Israeli military. And I wonder if you could start, Jesse, by just talking a little bit about Ahed and about her friend Jenna and what they have been doing in their village of Nabi Saleh that has led to this current situation.
Yes. I met both of them like 3 years ago in Nabi Saleh, and the village is filled with activists, and so they would always get a lot of soldier conflicts every Friday, and they would escalate rather quickly. Ahed, she's older than Jana. Jana, I think, is like 11 at this point. Ahed was. She was more on the front lines. She would go up to these soldiers and tell them to get off her land. And she has been involved in three viral kind of images that happened regarding the occupation and regarding the resistance, the nonviolent resistance that's going on in Nabi Saleh. So meeting these people, It's incredible. It's an incredible life-changing event. Ahed is a throwback. She's kind of more traditional. She speaks very, her accent is very thick and kind of old world. Where Jana, on the other hand, she is kind of, she's more of a, she speaks really well in English. She speaks great English, and she kind of is kind of more of like a poster child or up in the social media aspect more than Ahed is. Ahed is, she's there, man. She's doing it. And now, yeah, it's really sad. She's in jail. It's horrible.
And so you mentioned three videos or pictures, images of her that have gone viral. I know there was one several years ago of her brother getting brutalized by the Israeli military, and her and her mother kind of pulling the brother away from the soldiers. Totally. Could you talk about those images of Ahed?
Yeah, totally. The first one, the soldiers raid the village every week. A lot of it is basically like kind of psychological warfare, bullying of like the children in the village, and just to have a presence saying that we're here And one day I had walked up to one of the soldiers. This is her first kind of big viral image, and kind of cocked back like she was going to punch the soldier. And somebody, and the cameraman was right there, caught that image of a 10 or 11, 12 year old, I don't know exactly how old she was when she did it, but a young girl standing with a fully armed soldier cocking back. It's a very palpable image of resistance in the face of this occupation.
I think one of the things also in that image is the looks on the soldiers' faces, that they are looking amused, while on her face is this image of just defiance and of this sincerity that here are these soldiers invading her village. And I think it's something that people could relate to, that she is so serious about her opposition, and they just seem very amused.
Oh, yeah. They could care less. Because, I mean, my feeling, and I don't mean to generalize, but from people, from Israeli people that I've met when we went and flew out of Tel Aviv and whatnot, there is a general consensus that the Palestinians are like dogs. They're not really humans. So they look at them as non-human entities. And that's why I feel like those soldiers have those looks on their faces. Anyway, so that image happened for Ahed, and she became kind of like a world figure at that point. And she got flown out to Turkey, and she won the Hansala Award for bravery. And then from there, she's kind of been like a poster child for the resistance. And then the second image happened. This is like 2 years ago, I believe. And MSNBC caught it, and it spread even to America, which is crazy because Americans seem to not really know anything that's going on over there. But that image picked up of her brother getting arrested on a hilltop, and his arm had been broken, so he was in a cast, and he was getting wrestled by a full-grown man, soldier, fully armed. And the Tamimis tried to pull the soldier off his their brother. That was pretty intense. And then this last one just happened, like 10 days ago. So I had been in jail for 10 days. The reason theoretically why she's in jail is there was a viral video that happened with her pushing a soldier out of her house. And then the soldiers, that later that night, what they do is they usually come into the villages around like 3 or 4 in the morning, raid the village, and arrest these children who they have seen, or they, because the soldiers videotape these clashes and whatnot. So they have arrested her for, I don't really know if she's been charged with anything, but yeah. Anyway, yes. Are you still there? I'm rambling.
She did face a hearing, and as I understood it, they were planning to charge her with assault, but I don't know that charge has actually gone forward. And I understand that her mother was also arrested when she went to the police station to inquire about her young 16-year-old daughter.
Yep. I don't know how to pronounce it exactly. Nariman Tamimi has been arrested. She is still in jail. Ahed has been moved to 3 different facilities and still hasn't really been able to talk to a lawyer at this time. Her detention has been extended to Monday. So that'll be, it's 10 days right now that she's been in jail. So along with Ahed and her mother, Noir Tamimi, I think her cousin is also been in jail. She was also involved in the pushing of the soldiers out of the house. And Manal Tamimi, who I've met, and she's just an amazing, amazing lady. Bilal, which is Jana's uncle, his wife, she just got arrested 2 days ago while protesting outside the jail. So they came out, she went to the jail to try to see what's going on with Ahed. They had kind of a small rally with flags, and the soldiers came out and arrested her. So there's a lot of women, especially from the village, this small, tiny village, that have been detained and are now currently in jail.
And I understand that the soldiers have identified Ahed and pointed her out at protests, and she's become a target for them. Do you think this is now them taking their opportunity to carry out some of the targeting that they have wanted to do to her?
Definitely. Yes, I would agree with that. Like I said before, like, so she is probably, I would say, the most prominent of the Palestinian children, especially on the front lines, discussing and talking about and being an image for this nonviolent resistance that's going on. So yes, I think they wanted any opportunity to detain her. But what I feel like that this could backfire on them, and she's beloved by a large population of people. And so what is happening now is awareness is being raised at a monumental level, I think. And I'm seeing it like on Facebook and all over social media. There is really a humongous movement at this time. So that's good. That's great.
And your film, Radiance of Resistance, focuses mainly on the younger girl, Janna Jihad, but Ahed is also a part of it. Do you think, have you received more requests for the film? Has your film been played more since Ahed has been arrested now?
Yes, definitely. We are receiving a large number of requests to play the film. We're trying to wrap our heads around it right now and trying to figure out how to go about doing this. But I believe our film has been requested to play at a summit where the president of Palestine will be. And I think this is taking place in Brussels, like in a couple months. So that's pretty insane.
And even the British prime minister had this case brought to him by a six-year-old a few days ago and made a statement calling for Ahed Tamimi's release.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, it's I don't know. I mean, it's a good snapshot into what happens on the daily over in Palestine in the occupied West Bank. It's fully armed soldiers going against children, and so I don't know where the argument lies there. It doesn't seem like that's a fair fight, or that doesn't seem like that's anything there is logical in my mind, you know. So it's sad, but I mean, we talked to Bassem, Ahed's dad, a couple days ago, and he's basically saying at this point we just have to make more movies, we have to get the word out, and we have to continue spreading Ahed's story and spreading what's going on there, and getting people to kind of hopefully wake up and look at these images.
You talked about the Israeli soldiers trying to make an example of children. And one of the things I've noticed in the weeks following Trump's declaration is the daily protests have resulted in more than a dozen deaths of people being shot. But in addition, more than 1,000 people injured. And I wonder if you think there's some sort of parallel there to an Israeli administration during the first Intifada that's said, we don't want to kill the Palestinians, but to disable people so that they will be an example in the society of why people should not resist.
Oh, exactly, yes, because those injured Palestinians, so we touch on this in the film, what was happening months prior to when we arrived to shoot the movie in Palestine was during these weekly clashes on Friday, the soldiers were apparently snipers were taking or shooting the women in the leg just to injure them. And so they would be, so there was three at the time we got there, Manal being one of them, walking around in a cast and crutches. And they believe, and I mean, I believe that as well, is this was meant to be like a message to the village, a constant reminder that whenever you see these women in crutches, you know, that we control you. Like, we are physically dominating your village or your society, which, I mean, they are doing that. But it is. It's there's another level of this incredibly horrific psychological battle that they're waging on the Palestinian people. I agree. I mean, it is. The Israeli army is extremely efficient. And these are, I believe, well plotted out and planned injuries, especially, yes.
Wow. And just to give our listeners a little bit of background, in Nabi Saleh, you say there's weekly clashes between the villagers and the Israeli military. Why is that? And when did it start?
Right. Good call. It started in November, I believe, of 2010. They began marching because there is an illegal Israeli settlement right across the freeway, right across the Israeli freeway, that took their well. Halamish is the name of that settlement. And so they began marching down to the well with flags in November. I think it was 2010. I can't be specific on when exactly they started. But yeah, so that's why they started doing protests in Nabi Saleh. And then so then they would do it every Friday. They'd walk down to the well that had been taken by the Israeli settlers and get in clashes with the Israeli army, the IDF. They recently stopped doing this. Oh gosh. It'd probably have to be like 6 or 7 months ago because the clashes began to get too violent, and the soldiers were just shooting and firing bullets from the road. So they couldn't even like really, there was like the length of, they were shooting and a distance that was just like nothing was happening. Nothing was being really effective. And so they stopped doing it. But I believe they have recently started again.
The villagers themselves organize protests every week?
Yeah. Every Friday. When we were there, every Friday they meet at a general store right in the town, in the village, and then they march down to the main road, where they are every week met, and this is, you don't really know what's going to happen. They are met with jeeps, and every time that we were there, I think there was about 4 jeeps and probably like 10, 15 soldiers fully armed, and then they would have like 2 or 3 snipers that were in a tower above them. There's a checkpoint right in the entrance to Nabi Saleh that they would then close, and then they would have, you know, the clash with the Palestinians. Another thing, like another example of what I'm talking about is like you never know what's going to happen in the West Bank. They close that checkpoint just randomly, whenever they want to. It's the only road that takes the villagers and the children and everybody like out of Nabi Saleh to Ramallah, where they go to school. So if they close that road, you wake up, you have to drive an hour and a half around this whole entire like mountain, go like the hour and a half out of your way to get to Ramallah. And then sometimes they just, you know, they just don't go to school. They can't get to school because they don't know in time. And that's just another form of control. And, you know, another form of, you know, we will control your roads and we will control when you do what you do.
Just to get back to the issue of the focusing and the targeting of children, there was or there is another member of the Tamimi family who is in the hospital still,
yeah,
after the protests, Muhammad, and he, Muhammad Tamimi, was injured in a protest following Trump's announcement and shot point blank in the face by a rubber bullet, which, mm-hmm, the use of which has been banned inside of Israel, but the Israeli military still uses them in the West Bank.
Right.
And so this young teen has undergone complex surgery. And I wonder, do you know anything about his case and about this use of rubber-coated steel bullets at point-blank range in these protests?
I mean, I can't speak specifically on his, I know he got shot, and I think that he just got home, actually. I just saw, online, Jana was talking to him. But yeah, I think he's gonna have permanent brain damage done. I don't know. It's hard to justify what they do on so many levels. And so, this is just another example of how there's such a double standard in the world. And I feel like just the view of who the Palestinian people are, that they can justify what they do to them. You know, it's a horrible misjustice and an abuse of power. You know, I mean, Palestine doesn't have a lot of support in the world, and Israel does. So there you go.
Well, and even it's not just affecting Palestinians at this point. I mean, it was 10 years ago, I guess, now that that Tristan Anderson here from the Bay Area was there at one of these nonviolent protests and shot in the head, in the face, at close range by one of these steel rubber-coated bullets, and is still suffering brain damage from the frontal lobe removal, and will never be the same. And so I think that maybe you could talk about the internationals that are also apparently targeted at some of these protests.
The internationals that I saw during our protest that we were there, they ranged. I mean, I don't really know. I don't know. I feel like they would not want to target like Americans or internationals who are there. But for some reason, I don't feel like that is, that could be, you know, stray bullets or like, because there's a lot, I mean, there is chaos to a certain degree that happens during these clashes. But, I mean, there's all forms of security, not security, but like, there are people who show up in helmets and full-on flak jackets who are part of the press, and they have cameras and everything like that. I don't know. I can't really speak on if these are premeditated attacks on international people, but it is just, you know, you go to these clashes, and you're trying to film and everything, and it can escalate, and you have no idea what's going to happen. And so, I mean, they are dangerous. It's just a insane thing that's going on. It's horrible.
And just to end by going back to Ahed's case, I understand there have been protests in different places, both across the Palestinian territories and also around the world in support of Ahed. What are some of the ways that people can step up to call for her release? And is there a campaign going on to ask the Israeli government to release this young girl?
I mean, at this point, I feel like there's a lot of different things going on. Basim, Ahed's dad, has tried to funnel people towards, I think, Free the Tamimi Women Facebook page. And I have seen petitions, right? That's the right good word. Petitions online to share and to sign to free Ahed. But like you said, like, it's just at this point right now, it's trying to spread as much of the word as we can about what's going on, and talk to your friends about it. Look online. Look at certain sites online. Go see what's going on. I'm sure that once we hear what happens, like Monday, we'll start to have a bigger plan of what's going on. But Basim is basically just telling us to keep spreading the word.
Well, I just want to thank you so much for that. Again, I've been speaking with Jesse Locke. He is a filmmaker who recently put together the film Radiance of Resistance that focuses on the case of Nabi Saleh and the young girls who are standing up in resistance to the Israeli military invading their village there in the West Bank. Jesse, thank you for joining us on KBOO today.
Thank you.
This is Jenka Soderberg with KBOO Radio.
We've been hearing about the case of Ahed Tamimi, 16-year-old Palestinian who is imprisoned by Israel. This coming Saturday in Portland, January 13th, there will be a Women's March for Palestine at noon, a vigil at Pioneer Courthouse Square at 12:30, marching through downtown, calling for the release of Ahed Tamimi and of all Palestinian children imprisoned.
This vigil and march will also protest Trump's declaration that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, demand an end to the siege on Gaza, demand an end to the Israeli occupation of Palestine, and to demand freedom, justice, equality, and human rights for Palestinians. That's this Saturday, January 13th at noon at Pioneer Courthouse Square in Portland.
Open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.
KABU Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Scanner Foundation's 32nd Annual Martin Luther King Jr. Breakfast on Monday, January 15th at 8:30 a.m. at the Red Line Hotel on the River in Portland. This year, Nelson Senior Vice President of U.S. Strategic Community Alliances and Consumer Engagement, Cheryl Grace, will be the keynote speaker. Grace has been with Nelson for 13 years, and for the past 7 years has overseen the production of a report on Black consumers, and will speak about the power of the Black dollar. Again, that's the Scanner Foundation's 32nd Annual Martin Luther King Jr. Breakfast on Monday, January 15th at 8:30 a.m. at the Red Line Hotel on the River, 909 North Hayden Island Drive in Portland. More information can be found at kabu.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Portland.
Howdy, everybody. I'm Rose Maddox, and I'd like to tell you that you're listening to KBOO in Portland, Oregon, the station that I listen to when I'm in the area.
Stand by for the noontime jamboree. Helmet! 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 Helmet!
Now, you've heard of folks with a lot of ambition, but I
believe just about the biggest case of ambition I ever saw was in a bug that I saw crawling along the beach one day. He was a mighty ambitious